Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show.
A shout out to the BBN, Big Blue Nation. For those of you not in the know, that is the Kentucky Wildcat Nation, BBN, Big Blue Nation. Nobody like them. Come to find out, BBN, you can't always get what you want, especially when what you want comes with a 34.968 mil price tag. 0.968. I'll just round that up. 35. You don't always get what you want, especially when it comes with a 34.968 mil price tag. And especially when you want, when what you want is to throw down that much paper for the privilege of running your legendary head coach through the wood chipper. That 34.968 mil is, of course, the buyout for one John Calipari. Should Cal be removed without cause from leading the BBN, it would cost Kentucky that much money. Obviously, that's a big reason why Cal is not going anywhere, and he's not. But it's not the only reason. It's not the only reason I think that Kentucky just made the right move in keeping him. AD Mitch Barnhart made that announcement on X. He's not going anywhere. Clearly, Kentucky had no interest in paying this guy 35 mil to go away. And I understand why they had no interest in paying that dude nearly 35 mil to just go away. If you paid any attention to the reporting over the last week, it really never did seem that sweaty for Cal in the end. I know some of you, a chunk of you in the BBN, wanted it very badly. But when you look at it logically, it never really was a thing. Cal was not nearly as close to the guillotine as some of you in the BBN were assuming or hoping. Because even before his meeting with AD Mitch Barnhart, our guy Matt Norlander was reporting that the focus of their conversation would be, quote, significant program improvements, not necessarily separation, end of quote. And per usual, my dude nailed it. He was dead on, because there will be no separation. BBN, you can consider it not a divorce.
Consider that a divorce.
Not a divorce.
Consider that a divorce.
Not a divorce.
Consider that a divorce.
There will be no new Kentucky head coach this offseason, and personally, I agree with that. I agree with that decision, and not just because I like Cal, not just because Cal and I go way back. Lexington, you know I would not do you like that, because as much as I like Cal, I also love Lex Vegas. You know I love you. I wouldn't try to tell you that a dude who was not up to the big job should stay in the big job just because he and I go way back. If I thought that he was not the right dude to lead the Big Blue Nation, I would tell you that. I would be the first one to tell you that. And I'm telling you the opposite. He's still the right guy for that gig. He is still Kentucky basketball. He still runs talent through that town like no other coach in no other town in America. And don't even try to deny that, Kentucky fan. You can act like that doesn't matter. You can act like all you care about is the bottom line and how far that team gets in the tournament. But the reality is, Cal keeps a world-class talent pipeline flowing through Rupp Arena. And the pipeline is still flowing. And that should not be something that you take for granted or just sweep to the side. Considering nearly every other program is still jealous of that talent pipeline. Obviously, the man can still recruit. Obviously, he still wants to recruit and still does the work. Now, having said all that, I get that talent alone is not enough. I get that there are other tweaks and adjustments that he has to make as he gets older and as the game rapidly evolves around him. I understand that. But if you listen to what he and Mitch Barnhart are saying, he is open to those tweaks and adjustments. He wants to do the deep work. He wants to continue to evolve as a coach and grow that program. He's still fired up. He still cares. He still wants to be there. If the guy were mailing it in, that'd be something totally different. He is taking it all in. He's not mailing it in. And he's listening to the feedback. This is not a situation where you have some legendary old head who's holding a program hostage long after he's lost his magic. And he won't change. And he won't evolve. And he won't listen to any outside input. And he's just happy to drive the program into the ground. It's not Cal. It's not even remotely close to Cal. The big problem for Cal, and I addressed this last week, but the problem for Cal is that that Oakland loss, as happy as I was for them, and that was a great story, and because I had both coaches on, and I loved them both, I was conflicted. But the big problem for Cal is that Oakland loss, and not only that in a vacuum, but given what's transpired in recent years, that loss to Oakland was totally unacceptable.
Totally trash.
I'm telling you, man, I got the worst case of jungle Tourette's. It gets worse every single day. I think I have it worse than any of you. That loss to Oakland was totally unacceptable. BBN, you don't want to accept that loss. I get that. And I have not blamed you for that. I'm not saying you're wrong for that. You should be pissed. You should be angry about that. Because that was unacceptable. That cannot happen. You should not accept that loss, and neither should Cal. And it can't happen because it's now happened twice in 3 years. It's incredibly hard to justify going 4 years as the Kentucky head coach with just one NCAA tournament win to show for it. Especially this time, though, when you had that crazy talent and the coach himself was talking up how this team is built for March. Cal appeared on this very show before the tournament began and said, and again, this was just a few days before the entire season went up in flames, Cal had this to say about his team.
I'm looking at this team saying what I've said for how many weeks? We're built for March. Let's go. Let's prove it.
Exactly. Let's go. Let's prove it.
Let's go. Let's prove it.
You're coaching Kentucky. You better be built for March. And you better be ready to prove it every single year.
Let's prove it.
And that's the part that's missing right now. That's the part that has to improve. That can't happen. That's unacceptable. Period. Full stop. No qualifier.
Period.
No but. Period. That can't happen. But it did. Again. Having said that, so just so we're clear on that, I understand that can't happen, but it did. If he gets knocked out by a 14 or a 15 again, it will be the end. He won't survive three first-round exits in 4 years, nor should he survive three first-round exits in 4 years. If Cal gets knocked out on the first 2 days again next year, I will fly out to Lexington and pick my dude up and drive him to the airport myself. I would do that for you, BBN. But it says here I'm not going to have to. As long as he owns that failure, and I don't care what Giannis or anybody else says, they failed. But as long as he owns it and does not point any more fingers and does the hard work on himself and his program the way he says he will, then you bring him back and it's a no-brainer. Let me just remind you that even with his recent struggles in March, the man has the fifth most wins in NCAA tournament history. Here's the list of coaches who have more tournament wins. Coach K, Roy Williams, Dean Smith, Jim Boeheim. That's it. So remember, BBN, remember that's who we're talking about as you get your pitchforks out. And you're running up the hill looking for dude's head on a stick. Also remember who you have to replace. All right, that's the other thing, right? We all understand that there are a lot of you who are out on Cal. But who do you get to come in and pick up where he leaves off if you move him now? Who are the actual candidates that could legitimately, believably be an improvement over John Calipari? These are tough questions. These are questions the Kentucky Athletic Department had no interest in trying to figure out. Not at $35 million. They were not going to pay $35 million to try to answer these tough questions. And deep down, BBN, I know you all struggled with that question as well. Admit it. All right, great. You're going to break him off. Let's talk for a minute about O'Reilly Auto Parts, because they're in the business of keeping your car on the road and offering helpful service and parts knowledge that you need for all your maintenance and repairs. They have thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. And they can also test your battery for free. If it needs to be replaced, they will help you find just the right battery for your vehicle. When you need a specialty tool to finish the job, stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts and ask about their loaner tool program. Simply pay a refundable deposit and borrow the right tool, then get your deposit back when it's returned. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto, do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Rome. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/Rome. Awfully big of you to break him off. It's not your money. It's not your $35 million. But all right, fine. Who are you going to bring in? Who's going to replace that guy? Admit it. You're more split on this than you're letting on. Even your NBA alumni are divided. Boogie Cousins and Rajon Rondo had a little debate on their Bully Ball podcast. Remember, Boogie is the only one of these two that actually played for Cal. And check out his argument for why it was the right move to keep him.
When I got there, the standard wasn't championship. When we got there, it was championship or bust.
It still was Kentucky basketball.
And I'm not changing that. I'm not
saying it's not. Celtics or the Los Angeles Lakers. Like, we're not talking about the Detroit Pistons, dude.
And even those franchises have dry spells. That's the point I'm making.
They did. You're right. It ain't easy to win. You're right.
It's not. So I don't understand how we get to the point where our next best option is to replace this coach. That doesn't even make with what? Revenue is going to go down.
I never said replace him.
Everything that Calipari brings to a program is going to go down if they replace this guy. Everything is going down.
I disagree with that.
Cousins, what's good?
Yeah, I don't know, dude. Boogie was pretty impassioned. He was pretty fired up. And I know that Rondo disagrees, but I think it's hard to disagree with the point that Boogie is making. He said, if you get rid of Cal, everything goes down. It's going to be hard for anybody to fill those shoes and maintain that standard. Again, if they get blown out early on by a much lower seed next year, I'm not going to sit here and say this guy can stay as long as he wants. I'm not even going to say that right now. But clearly, the athletic department agrees that he does deserve another shot and that they don't want to pay $35 million to find out who can fill those shoes. And I'm with them on that. Sorry, BBN. It's not only for the best. It is the right decision. You guys don't all have to turn into a bunch of John Chaney's back in the day. Coach Chaney used to come on the show, too. I used to love talking to him. But you don't all need to turn into him, because that's not the answer. That's never the answer. Neither is crashing your own BBN message boards with all your smack. You don't get your way this time, but you will get your way if this dude does not start producing better March results immediately, like starting next year. And that's all you ever wanted anyway, right, BBN? I'm not saying that it's not broken. However, I'm also not saying that it's not beyond repair. It's not irreparable. It can be fixed. I still believe that he is the guy to fix it. Given what he's accomplished there, I know this much. He deserves another chance. The man deserves another chance. Keep Cal. It's the right move. And it's not because he and I go way back. It's because it's the right move. You know, if you want to make the argument that they're only doing it for the money, yes. But then again, it's not your money, is it, BBN? You're all pretty liberal with the university's money. Now, there might be some big, big boosters listening right now saying, actually, Rome, it is my money. Yeah, one or two of you, maybe. It is a lot of money. Listen, that's not an easy gig. He also talked about it on this show when he says actually aging in dog years.
It's dog years here. It's
70. Right.
So you understand I'm over 100 right now. But what I would say, we have the greatest fans that are really engaged, that travel, that watch the tape twice, that are showing and come to every game. We lead the nation in attendance, but they're also engaged when we lose. But that's a small sliver. And let me tell you, a friend of mine told me this the other day. Everybody's negative about everything now.
Hmm.
So it's not just our fans. I mean, it's everybody. It doesn't matter what you're talking about. Someone wants to argue. And what I've tried to do is just stay above it. And if they're hitting me in the mouth, I'd rather them hit me than my team and these young kids. And then the other side of it is when they come at me, you can't do this. You know what I say? I agree. Can we move on now? I agree with you. But it doesn't make it easier, but you're right. My guess, you and I would say, Greg Campy should be offered a couple jobs after this year. And he should have been offered jobs in the last 10 years. But really good coach, really great guy. I'm telling you, when you watch them tomorrow, you're going to say Cal wasn't BSing. They're good. They got two players that shoot 20 threes per game between them, two. And if you don't keep an eye on them, all of a sudden they make seven straight threes. Woo! A little different ball game.
The incredible thing about that, he said all of that before the game. And he called his shot. He was right. Going back to his point about, hey, Romy, the thing about Kentucky fans is that they are engaged. They're engaged. That or they're enraged, Cal. Engaged, enraged, tomato, tomato. They're engaged. They're engaged, all right. A lot of them are engaged in hating you. Not me, Cal. I got you. Now, again, if you get beat in the first round by a 14 or a 15, I will come there and drive you to the airport myself, my man. And even then, I think you would not disagree, Cal. You know the standard. I'm saying I still believe in him. He's still recruiting. He knows he came up short. He knows he has to change. And I believe that he can make those changes, and he wants to be there. And again, who are you going to replace him with? BBN. I started the show with you, so feel free to get your ass on the phone and react. Are all of you against this? Do some of you still believe? I'll tell you who believes, man. Boogie.
Everything that Calipari brings to the program is going to go down if they replace
Cousins,
him.
What's good?
Everything is going down. Everything.
I disagree with that.
He loves him. He loves Cal. The players do. Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anybody? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask me. Make the right call. Get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card. We are joined right now by Sam Fold. Sam, it is great to have you on the show. Appreciate you doing it, Sam. How you feeling?
Feeling good, Jim. Appreciate you having me on.
It's great to have you on, Sam. Listen, I know you're hyped to get the season underway, but I want to start with you for a moment. I mentioned that you went to Stanford, where you were a two-time All-American. You were a pretty long way from home growing up in New Hampshire. Not only that, but your father was the Dean of College of Liberal Arts and a professor of psychology at the University of New Hampshire at one time. So how did you end up at Stanford?
Yeah, I still sometimes wonder about that. They have to recruit nationally, I think, with their sort of academic standards. And maybe my UCLA and USC buddies would disagree with that, but, you know, they typically look all over the country and now world, I think, for their baseball talent, and somehow, some way, found me up in small town New Hampshire. And yeah, it was a shock when they showed interest when I was like a high school junior, and it was a bit of a pipe dream to go to a school like that, both in terms of the school and the quality of baseball. But yeah, it didn't take much convincing. Once they showed some interest and I stepped foot on that campus, I was like, I'm in. Sign me up.
Oh, hell yes, definitely. When you step on that campus, you know, and especially given everything they're known for, both academically and in baseball, did you cross paths with my dude Ryan Garko while you were there?
Oh, yeah. Gark was, he was a year ahead of me, and man, he was a beast. He led us to a lot of success. We got to Omaha three different years together, and he's the man. And we work, you know, we're counterparts now with him being in Detroit and running their minor league system. And yeah, Gark's the man. He's taught me a lot over the years.
You know, I love hearing that. Gark is great. I love Gark, one of my favorite guys. And by the way, speaking of Omaha, you put up crazy numbers once you got there. So I appreciate all that. Talking about where you're at right now, what do you make of the work that your team put in spring in Clearwater? How hyped are you to play a game that counts?
We're ready to go. Yeah, it's a long season. You know, it's 31, 32 games, and, you know, it's an important part of the process, getting guys ramped up, you know, evaluating guys. We didn't have a ton of roster decisions to make, but certainly got good looks at the guys that we, you know, were in contention to potentially make our roster. So, and look, the sunshine is great and everything. The beach is great and clear water, but I'll take this, you know, 49 degrees and cloudy day here in Philly, knowing that we're about to tip off tomorrow any day. It's time, you know, it's time to turn the lights on and get going. And guys are hungry to, you know, bounce back a couple fun, exciting playoff runs, but ones that obviously stung a little bit at the end.
No doubt. Sam Folt joining us. What about that, Sam? Like, turning the page is the ultimate baseball cliche, especially after a tough loss and especially after a tough seasonal or a series loss in the postseason. You know, Arizona coming back on you guys, that stings. I understand that. Did you sense when guys showed up for spring training, was there any kind of emotional hangover when the team arrived, or was the end of the last season buried and forgotten?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of both. Like, I think this, it's good to have a little bit of, you know, an edge and, like, feel that bitter taste of losing like we did last year. And, look, we felt the same way a year ago when we came close to getting to the top of the mountain and losing to Houston in the World Series. So I think you can use that to your advantage, and I think our guys do a really good job of that. Like, you have to turn the page, but it's okay to be a little bitter about the way that the season ended last year. And I think guys, you know, use that to fuel them and get them motivated to get to the top of the mountain.
You use the word I was going to use. Why not convert that to fuel? Why not convert that to fuel? Why let that go to waste? That makes plenty of sense to me. Sam Folt joining
totally.
Us. Convert it to fuel. Sam, ultimately it's going to come down to the players. You know this. I think even your manager, Rob Thompson, who did a great job and is doing a great job, knows that. Let me ask you about Bryce Harper. He missed the first 5 weeks of last season coming off that elbow surgery. Then he had to deal with some back issues that sidelined him for a week in Florida. Is he a full go for tomorrow? What's his outlook for the season?
Yeah, he's ready to go. I mean, he's one of these, you know, freak athletes, freak baseball players, freak talents that can just doesn't need 40 or 50 at-bats in spring training necessarily to get locked in. And I mean, he's come off of, you know, injuries in the past with us. He's done two or three game rehab assignments in AAA and been like, at, you know, Babe Ruth after not seeing a live pitch in a month or two. So he's just special. And yeah, while you would have liked to him have him be healthy throughout the course of spring training, he's good. He's good physically, and you know, he'll be dialed in once we get going tomorrow.
Hey, Sam, you know how much of the game is played from the shoulders up. When you talk about him being a freak athlete, he certainly is that. Does he have the mindset to match his freakery athletically?
He does. I mean, I think that's in many ways what makes him special. I mean, like, what he can do physically is certainly puts him in rare company, but like the way he goes about his routine and his level of focus, like on a nightly basis, it's not just when the playoffs come around. It's like it's April 3rd with, you know, on a cold rainy night. It's throughout the course of the year where he's just focused, and he cares as much about his at bat, you know, in the ninth inning of a blowout game as he does his first at bat in a really pivotal game later in the year. So he's different between the years, and he's certainly different physically.
Sam Fuller joining us. Hey, Sam, help me with this. Like, I'm a proud alumnus of UC Santa Barbara. However, I need somebody who went to Stanford to explain the phenomenon that is Kyle Schwarber to me. How did this dude hit 47 home runs, batting leadoff, while hitting just 197 and striking out 215 times? Like, none of that makes sense to me. How do you explain that?
He's a different hitter, and he'll tell you the same thing. I mean, to have, you know, to hit in the leadoff spot and drive in over 100 runs and to score over 100 runs, like, that says something about you. But, look, he's always had an ability to get on base. And there's different ways of doing that. Some years he's hit 250, 260 and gotten on base at a really high clip. But, you know, last year I think he had a career high in walk rate. I mean, it's like really goofy numbers, 17, 18% of the time he's walking. And that allows you to, like, you know, he's a threat to go deep anytime he steps in the box, which I think is, like, really cool to have a leadoff hitter who does that. Like, there's no sort of easing into a game for a starting pitcher. You know, the heat is on from the jump, and he just gets on base in a really unique way. He may strike out more than he'd like, but, you know, with that comes a lot of walks, and so the batting average may not be pretty, but it's a different way of doing it, and it's a great way of doing it.
Right, and the game's changed so much. When you talk about he's a leadoff hitter who's a threat to jump ship every single time he comes up, when you think back on the game and your time in the game, can you compare anybody to that? Who's ever been that much of a threat to hit a home run leading off? I mean, you see, back in the day, way back in the day, Sam, and I'm older, when Ricky Henderson would hit 30 home runs, you'd always think, like, damn, this guy could go deep. He's going to get on no matter what. But who can you remember as a leadoff hitter who was that dangerous for power?
Oof, yeah, it's hard to think about anybody in that category. You know, I'm trying to think of the guys we used to play against when I was in Tampa, and we played against some really good teams between New York, Baltimore, Boston. But those teams had more sort of traditional leadoff guys. I remember Victorino in Boston and Brian Roberts in Baltimore, and I guess Jeter to some extent in New York. So it's just, yeah, not quite the threat to go deep the way that Schwarber does. But like I said, it scares opposing pitchers, and there's no just, all right, here's strike one down the middle to get things kicked off. Like, you got to honor every single pitch from the get.
Sam Fuller joining us. I get that. So the Braves are in town. You start the season with them. They've won the last six straight divisional titles, but you've knocked them out of the postseason each of the last 2 years. So starting with these guys seems pretty apropos. I mean, would you have it any other way? Not that you have a choice, but would you have it any other way?
No, I think this is pretty good. I mean, like, Strider versus Wheeler, I don't know if you can draw it up any better than that. And we've had some good battles. And I've, you know, first couple of years I was in the Phillies organization, I watched them celebrate on the field in front of us to get into the postseason. And, you know, we've had the upper hand when it's all said and done the last couple of years. But look, they've still won the division pretty handily the last couple of years. So it's pretty good, healthy rivalry, a lot of back and forth. We want to do what they've done the last couple of years and win the division. But I know that, you know, they'd be hungry to get revenge on us in the postseason. So I love it. This is good. This is a good start for sure.
So before I let you go, speaking of Wheeler, he won 13 games last year, so that's a good guy to hand the ball to. How much better did you sleep at night knowing that you locked up both he and Aaron Nola with extensions this offseason?
Huge. I mean, you can't have enough starting pitching, but when you talk about, like, that kind of quality, it's massive, you know. Certainly lets you sleep a little bit better at night knowing that you can hand the ball to those two guys for the next few years at the very least. They're unbelievable. Like, we, you know, they're what everybody sees what they do between the lines, but I think what gives you confidence in knowing that they're going to be really good for a long time is how much they care and what they do outside the lines, in the weight room, in the training room. They care. They want to be good for a long time, and I think that's what allowed us to have confidence in giving them longer-term deals, and we couldn't be happier.
Hey, Sam, one last thought. This is not your issue, but it is kind of a baseball issue. I'm just curious. That Shohei Ohtani story is so crazy and bizarre. When you first heard it, what was your reaction?
I think a lot like everybody else in the industry, just trying to, like, piece together all the details that were out there, and obviously some of the information has shifted, and it's scary. I mean, you know, we may never know exactly what happened, and I know that there'll be a lot of work put into trying to figure out what happened there, but yeah, it's a scary thought, and you know, makes you at least analyze what you're doing as an organization to make sure that players are protected and are aware of what they can and can't do. And I think we all do that. Each team does that appropriately. But, yeah, I feel for everybody involved, and hopefully, everybody can move past something like that.
He is the VP and the general manager of the Philadelphia Phillies, year number 4, 8 years in the bigs, and they get underway again tomorrow. Sam, really appreciate you and the conversation, man. Great to have you on the show, Sam. Thanks so much.
Yeah, awesome to be here. Thanks, Jim.
So, let me tell you about something. The other day, I come across a product that all of us should be carrying around. It's amazing. It's something different for fresh breath. It is an incredible product called Zelman's Minty Mouth. And guys, it is a game changer. If you're up in the grill of somebody else and you're making your case for whatever it is, make sure your breath is fresh. Zelman's cleans your breath in a way that other mints don't and can't, because it's not just a mint. It's a functional breath freshener capsule that you swallow. It's clinically tested against the toughest offenders, even garlic and onions. You just pop 2 or 3 in your mouth, suck the minty coating, then swallow the capsule for the confidence of fresh, clean breath that lasts for hours. The product is like nothing else you've ever tried. It fights bad breath in your mouth. It then goes right down to your gut. This is the ultimate hack to get rid of coffee, garlic, or smoker's breath. You're going to like having the confidence of long-lasting fresh breath, or you get your money back guaranteed. These folks will give you your money back. Not that you're going to want it, but they will. They've got free shipping if you order 3 packs or more, and trust me, you're going to want more. And nobody likes to pay for shipping. Go to Zelmans.com right now. That's Zelmins.com. Right now, you'll get 15% off when you use the promo code ROME. Zelmins.com. You do have to use the code ROME to get your 15% savings, ROME. And there's a lot of things about Shohei's scandal that are really dumb. This, though, is even dumber. And seemingly a lot more serious. At least for the NBA, with a lot lesser of a player. A lot lesser of a player, yet a lot more serious of an issue. Obviously, I'm talking about Jonte Porter of the Raptors, who may or may not be on the Raptors or even in the association for very much longer, depending on how this plays out, because he is wrapped up in one of the most mind-blowingly dopey betting scandals we have ever seen. Porter, the younger bro of Michael Porter Jr., is currently under investigation by the NBA following multiple instances of betting irregularities over the last few months. What kind of irregularities, you ask? The kind that involve Raptors games. Granted, if somebody would try to fix something, they would try to fix anything. But that's kind of a red flag, isn't it? Maybe, maybe not. We've seen lesser college games with small programs where that sort of thing happened. But the Raptors, involving a player like that. Uh-oh! Except these betting irregularities involving the Raptors' Jonte Porter did not just involve Raptors bets. They involve Jonte Porter prop bets as well. Remember the distinction I made about Shohei. If it was determined that Shohei bet on baseball, and Shohei has said, I never bet on anything, much less baseball. If Shohei did bet on baseball, these are baseball rules, Shohei would be looking at a 1-year suspension. If he bet on baseball, but not his team. If Shohei bet on his team, then he's looking at a lifetime ban. Adios. So Jonte, when looking at these irregularities, now I'm not saying that he did or did not. I'm saying there are irregularities that they're investigating. They don't involve irregularities regarding him and other teams. They involve irregularities involving him and his team. Moreover, they involve irregularities involving him on his team. Uh-oh! Prop bets involve Devontae himself. You know why that's as slow an uh-oh as we have? Because that's about as bad as it gets. In other words, not good. In other words, below not good. In other words, below not good.
Below not good.
Alvin, you might want to cue up Commissioner Ears as well. You know which clip I mean. Because this situation looks really, really bad. This makes the Shohei controversy look straight up overblown. And that one is really, really bad. This makes Ipe look like a super genius criminal mastermind. I'm thinking Jontay Porter wishes he had an Ipe right now. Or any fall guy for that matter. Maybe he's trying to find one as we speak. Maybe he's on the horn to Chris Carter for advice. Maybe. Yeah, he's like, hello, is this Chris? Yeah, who the hell is this? Jontay. Yeah, I've been expecting your call, Jontay. Chris, what do I do? What do I do? Lose my number. Jontay is going to have to find a way to explain why there were random outlier bets on his unders, which is suspicious to begin with, right? Why is all this money coming in on a Jontay under? That's a little weird. But these random outlier bets on his unders came in on nights that Jontay removed himself from games. Once again, how are you going to explain that? Just a quinky-dink? Good luck explaining why it is on two nights that massive underbets came in on, of all people, Jontay Murray. Porter, I should say. And Jontay Porter ended up pulling himself from both games. Once because of a re-aggravated eye injury, and once due to an illness. Yeah, that's not sus. That's not sus at all. On both of the nights in question, DraftKings turned around and announced to the world that the biggest winning bets in the NBA for that night were Jontay Porter unders. Because that makes sense. Because that's not the world's reddest flag. Because that's not just a red flag. That is one of the most obvious red flags in the history of red flags. Jontay, my man, no offense. But no random outlier prop bet on Jontay Porter is suspicious as hell. Isn't suspicious as hell. If somebody throws down 20K on Jontay Porter, under, like allegedly in this case, the book will know. Do you know why the book will know? Because that is not typical. That is not a normal wager. In fact, that's the very definition of an atypical, abnormal wager. There are programs and systems in place to catch the exact type of suspicious gambling activity that we're talking about. How did you think, allegedly, that that was going to work and that they wouldn't have caught that? Hell, I probably could have designed a computer program to catch that. And what do you know? They caught that very exact suspicious gambling activity. And it took about 2 seconds to match those suspicious bets with Porter's suspicious behavior. And now Porter better hope that he's got a really good answer for Commissioner Ears when he says, my friend, what happened? I'm all ears. You like that one, Alvy? I mean, he literally is all ears. No matter what the subject is, no matter what the conversation is, my man shows up to every event all ears. But especially in that case, because that's really, really bad for the league. I mean, my man wakes up and when his feet hit the ground in the morning, all ears. And then when he lays his head down, to go to bed at night? All ears. Anyway, the league, if the league can't find any direct link between Porter and any of the accounts that threw down those massive prop bets, that would be somewhat shocking. But he better hope that's what it is. Because if they do find a link, we all know what happens next. Commissioner Ears is going to give that dude the Dawn Sterling treatment. That dude is going to be banned from the association and maybe even for life.
For life. Life.
And no silly wabbit is going to get him out of that. You can't have... This is the... Of course, this is sports' biggest nightmare. I know a lot of you don't give a damn. I know you don't. You just don't, but you should. If fans sit down to watch a game, and by the way, with gambling now, it's even more important because now they have money on it. It's one thing about the credibility, just to pay big money for tickets. You need to know that what you're watching is legit. It's legit. It's real. It's not pro wrestling. It's not fixed. It's not like roller derby back in the day, which I think also was fixed. They need to know it's real. And once you violate that trust of the public and it's staged or it's fixed or it's scripted, why would anybody pay money to see it? Now, you might argue, yeah, Rome, but people love wrestling. Right, but you know what they love you more? Legitimate competition where they don't know that the outcome is predetermined. And if a player is involved in fixing the outcome, you got a real problem. Like the Shohei thing, it's bad. The Shohei thing is bad. It is. That situation's bad. But as far as we know, no bets were placed on baseball, let alone Shohei props that he himself bet on. I mean, that'd be the worst thing ever. But this is, in fact, what may have happened. This dude, if he didn't bet on himself, he may have let somebody else know that this is what this was going to be. Because there was big money that came in. And why would big money come in on this guy's under? And then in those games, he took himself out of the game. The optics are horrific. I just feel for my guy Darko Rajakovic. He has been through a lot already in his rookie coaching season. But I bet I already know how he reacted and how he feels about the Jonte Porter situation. I bet that he thinks it's a complete crap.
It's a complete crap.
Hey, man, I hope. I hope for his sake. I hope for Jonte's sake. I hope for the NBA's sake. I hope it is a complete crap. But
it's a complete crap.
Here were his actual comments on this situation this week as to whether or not he had any suspicions about this suspicious situation and suspicious injuries.
No, because for my perspective as a coach of the team, I never doubt injuries. I never doubt, you know, honesty from players. Obviously, I never had a situation like this before. And, you know, so I did not.
Right. Because we've never seen a role player and have such incredible line movement on an under where he took himself out of a game, not once but twice. That's why you've never thought of that before. I hear you. Except when that happens. Again, I don't know that that happened, but I know they're investigating and I know why they're investigating because it looks sketchy as hell. Porter better hope that Ears doesn't see it that way. He better hope that Ears can't prove that he faked those injuries or had any part in those suspicious underbets. Because once again, you know that this dude's got a hammer, and at times he even will swing it. And when he does, sometimes people get banned for life.
I am banning Mr. Sterling for life. Life.
Porter better hope that he's not in his crosshairs. He better hope that he doesn't hear this.
I am banning Mr.
Porter
for life.
He better hope, Alvin.
Mr. Sterling
Porter
for life.
Gambling. Life. I mean, come on, man. Life. These guys. Like, I'm not even going to speculate if he got into trouble or if he had to. We know that people like Ipe, allegedly, if you have a gambling problem or a drug problem or an alcohol problem, whatever problem, if you have a substance abuse problem, you will go to the greatest lengths to get a fix. We know this. And then if you're indebted to somebody and you owe somebody money and you're physically in danger, you will really go to great lengths to make it right. I'm not saying this happened. I'm just saying it is extraordinarily unusual to see that amount of money involved with that kind of a bet involving that type of player who just happened to take himself out of a game twice and the money was bet on an under. I hope it's not how it looks, because it looks bad. And if in fact it is what it looks like, the hell did he think he was going to get away with? How did he think he could get away with that? All of a sudden there's 10 grand, 20 grand. Like I said, DraftKings said there was more money made on that particular wager that night than on any other wager in the NBA. Let's just say that's not exactly Giannis over 24. That's not James Harden over 8.5 assists. That's not even Caitlin Clark over half a three. That's DeJounte Porter. Under. Dude, he's a role player. He's averaging like 4-3 a game. So we'll see. Now that is a gambling scandal, allegedly. Let's talk for a minute about O'Reilly Auto Parts, because they're in the business of keeping your car on the road and offering helpful service and parts knowledge that you need for all your maintenance and repairs. They have thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. And they can also test your battery for free. If it needs to be replaced, they will help you find just the right battery for your vehicle. When you need a specialty tool to finish the job, stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts and ask about their loaner tool program. Simply pay a refundable deposit and borrow the right tool, then get your deposit back when it's returned. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto, do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Rome. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/Rome. We are joined right now by Tevondre Sweat. Tevondre, what's up? It's good to have you on. How you feeling?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing great, man. How about you?
Man, I'm great. It's an honor. Thank you for having me join.
Yeah, it's great to have you on. I appreciate you making time for me. That's very cool. So we're less than a month away from a night that you grew up watching on TV, you've spent your entire life dreaming about and working towards. What's it all feel like right now?
I just feel like this is what I've been working for. Like, I've been working all my life for the moment to get my name called, and I got a month away, so it's just unbelievable and exciting.
Yeah, so I wonder about that time before or between the end of the season and where we are right now. Like, how did you feel about your work at the Combine and your Pro Day? Do you feel like you accomplished what you set out to do in those two settings?
Yes, sir, I did. After Combine and, like, Senior Bowl, Pro Day, like, I just feel completed, you know? I mean, like I said, I've been working this hard for these type of moments. And when the moments came, I did what I had to do. So I feel like I feel completed, and now I'm just waiting for my name to get called.
Tevondre Sweat joining us. You know, it's got to help to have a family member that has gone through it before. Your older brother, Josh, played college ball at Florida State. He was a Pro Bowler for the Philadelphia Eagles. What is the best advice that he's given you as you prepare to make that transition from the college game to the pros?
I don't know who put out, that's my brother. We're trying to figure out if we're cousins.
All right, so you guys are cousins, so not brothers.
We're not even related, I don't believe.
You're not?
No.
I thought you guys were blood brothers.
No, sir.
Not at all. Well, okay, do you know him? Do you guys have a relationship? Has he given you some advice?
No, I don't know him like that. We only text like one time.
I got some bad info. My bad then. All right, so despite that fact, even if you don't know him and even if you're not related to him, you still had a great college career, but it doesn't matter who you are. This is the time where folks will be looking to poke holes in your game and come up with negative stuff because they do for everybody. Some analysts were concerned about your weight, that you could come in as high as 380, but do you feel like you stopped all that by coming in at 366?
Yeah, I feel like I stopped it because at the pro day. Because at pro day, I feel like everybody was expecting me to be 375 to 380. I maintain my weight. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. And all I could do is just keep shocking and keep doing what people think I can't do.
And listen, that's part of it, right? And then not only that, but if that didn't take care of that, the fact that you ran a 5.27 40 had to have, how confident were you coming in that you would run that well?
I was very confident. I mean, shout out to BC, man. He helped me get that, you know. We trained every day for the moment, and I knew I was going to run that, but a lot of people most likely probably was going to run a little slower. And that's why I said I was going to shock a lot of people. And I feel like I did. And like I said, I feel completed. So
we are talking to Tavondre Sweat. Listen, sex sells. So do sacks. You got your share of sacks. How much pride, though, do you take in knowing the teams had to reconfigure their running games completely to try to avoid you?
Yeah, it's not even all about me. Our coach always told us we always want to make a team one-dimensional. And when you can make a team one-dimensional, then all you got to do is worry about, like, pass rush and stuff like that, you know? So that was our biggest thing, is making the team one-dimensional. So I won't even just praise me. I praise my teammates next to me, because I wouldn't even have the season or the right to even get to talk to you if it wasn't for my teammates next to me. So I give all praises to those guys.
I get that. Respect. I can even help you with that. I can talk about another teammate. How about Byron Murphy, the second? He's also an NFL prospect. He's rising up draft boards. How hard did the two of you push each other, and how much better are each of you for it?
I mean, everybody that Coach Bo had in the D-line room, we all pushed each other. It wasn't just me and him. We all pushed each other. And I don't know why Murph is like, now people starting to see, like, he's been dominant, explosive, a great player. You know what I mean? I don't know why I was over here like, oh, he's just now starting going up the draft board. He should have been up. He's one of the best defensive tackles in the draft right now, if not the best defensive tackle in the draft right now. So,
hey, T, what do you make of all that? Like, so these things are out of your control. You can't control what people say. You can't control what people write. You can't control me saying you're related to somebody that you're not. So what do you make of all that? Why do you think only now people are seeing how good Byron Murphy is?
I'm not sure. But what makes – I feel like me and Murph, like, we get all the praises, you know, like that's great. But, like, I feel like people, like I said all the time, people always misled. Me and Murph wouldn't have the season if it wasn't for the guys next to us. And I could just leave it there because, like, yeah, me and Murph, yeah, we did this or that, but, like, we wouldn't be able to do it without the guys next to us. So I'm just going to leave that there.
Dude, you've made that pretty clear. They, like, stop trying to give one person credit or two guys credit. Man, we're all in this. We are a team. It's football. Like, how much of this is that this is the way you came up, and how much of this is Longhorn culture?
I mean, I've always been taught, like, like basketball, one guy can win a game in basketball. Football, you need a team. And that's why football is always preached. Team, team, team. And our number one thing was to protect the team. It's all about team and football, because once the team having success, then you have the individual success.
You know, Longhorn fans have been saying for years, Texas is back, Texas is back. When, you know, for a time that was not the case, but your team, this group, turned it into a reality, especially this year. You win the Big 12 championship, you get to the college football playoff, you had that epic Sugar Bowl game against Washington. So what's it mean to you and the team to have played such a role in transforming a program with so much history into a national power once again?
Oh, it feels amazing. I mean, our coach always preached on just, Coach Stark always preached on just believing and trusting in him, and we'll do great things. And the players realize, like, we all realize that we had something special. And so we all took accountability in the offseason to believe, trust, and getting to know each other. And getting to know each other as in, like, because you're playing with her brother. That's like your brother, your right hand. If you can't trust your brother, then how y'all going to play together? You know what I mean? So we all the priest on just getting to know each other and believing and trusting in each other.
So how'd you guys go about getting to know each other? For instance, is like, is that just during work in the weight room? Is it doing facility?
Yeah, we did all that, but really what happened was Coach Sark, he did a Cultural Wednesday. It was Cultural Wednesday. And that is like where we take football away and we get in small groups every Wednesday, in different groups every Wednesday, and getting to know each other and stuff like that.
Sykes, give me an example. Like on a Cultural Wednesday, what would you guys do? Like when you think of that, what do you remember?
We're getting like a little small circle. Uh-huh. People tell each other like something about their life nobody ever knew.
Like vulnerability stuff.
Yes, sir.
I get that. He is an NFL draft prospect. He is an Outland Trophy winner, a unanimous All-American. And the big man can move now. He's fast and strong. Devondre Sweat, my guest. T, appreciate you. That was a fun interview, dude. Appreciate you. Enjoy the next month as you wait to find out where you're going to live and work. And then once you do, I'm going to run you down again.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me. It's an honor.
It's an honor to have you, dude. That was fun. Devondre Sweat joining us.